Temperature-wise, and in past weeks, it seems like the weekends have been much, much colder with snow and ice. But this weekend, we do have the colder temperatures, but we don't have the snow and we don't have the ice. So hopefully, we're getting into spring. I heard that, was it Thursday? Was it the official first day of spring? So hopefully Mother Nature will listen and we'll start having those warmer temps. I've got a neighbor that lives a couple houses down that he's already got flowers starting to come up. So hopefully the warm weather is here to stay. So we do want to say welcome and good morning to you all. We do have a few visitors out there I see this morning. So we want to say welcome to you all. You are part of the family this morning. Hopefully you guys will make yourselves at home. You're in luck because today, being the fourth Sunday of the month, we have our dogs luncheon. That is our dinner on the grounds lunch where we celebrate our visitors and anyone that has had a birthday or an anniversary during the month. So we will be, in fact, staying directly following service, and we will have lunch. I know I saw about a half a dozen crock pots in the kitchen this morning, so we definitely have food, so you all are invited to stay directly following service for that. If you would, go ahead and turn with me to your bulletins. I've got a few that I want to highlight, and then one that I really got to highlight hard. First one I want to touch on is for you ladies that go to the women's retreat. That registration and fee are due in today. So if you're planning on going, you need to have that registration form and your money in today for that. For all of you that have been a part of the choir, we have started practice for the Easter Cantata. Easter is, in fact, April the 20th this year, so it's about 4 weeks away. So it's right around the corner. If you have been or want to be a part of the Easter Cantata, 6:30 on Wednesdays, we will have Bible study as normal. But for any of you that want to be a part of the Easter Cantata, that's Wednesday at 6:30. Great. Then next Sunday, Next Sunday morning, we will have our district superintendent, Mark Bain. He will be here sharing with us during the morning service. So be here 10:40 next week for service. Be here at 9:30 for Sunday school. Then also, next Sunday is the last Sunday to turn in your faith promise pledge to wrap it up for the 2013-2014 year. If you need to know where you stand as far as how much you've given as to what you've pledged, you can check in with Sue in the office, and she can get that to you. Then next Sunday evening, Pastor Gary and Miss Jennifer will be sharing some pictures, some videos, and just a little bit about their sabbatical trip that they took back in January. So that is next Sunday evening. So be here for that. That should be a pretty interesting service. I know I'm looking forward to seeing where all they went and hear a little bit about their trip. Now, the announcements that I really want to touch on real hard is one that I find to be the most important, because I just love softball. And softball season officially starts April the 15th. Coaches meeting will be April the 12th. That's the Saturday prior. So any of you men that have played or would like to play, we are going to meet directly following service right before lunch today to kind of see how many of you are interested in playing. I know that we have a couple guys that are missing this morning, but I'll get in contact with them. But if you're interested in playing softball, we're going to meet probably down front here directly following service. It is $30 to play. We'll play about 12 to 15 games throughout the summer. I will say that last season we had one of our best seasons. We missed the playoffs by one win. And so this season, we're in contingency to have another great team, another good year. And I want to encourage you, all that do not play, to come out and support the team. We had some regulars that supported us throughout the summer, but we would love to see all of you out there on Tuesday nights, Ozark Park. The times of the games will be listed in the bulletin, so anyone interested in softball, see me directly following service. That's all the announcements that I've got. We're going to go ahead and go into our greeting time. So go ahead and stand. Find someone that maybe you haven't had a chance to say hello to this morning and greet one another.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored.
get as many people as I can. Thank you. Have a seat. Good morning, good morning. Do we have all the kids? Jacob, are you going to come join us? That is awesome. Is Annabelle coming up? Where's Annabelle? Oh. Okay, that works.
It's okay, Jessica.
You can sit right there. That's a perfect place for you. I need some help this morning, so that's a perfect place for you. I want to chat just for a minute this morning about giving thanks. Who would like to read scripture for me this morning? I could see it in your eyes. Okay.
Always be joyful, never stop praying. Give thanks no matter what happened. God wants you to thank him because you believe in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18.
Thank you. I want to focus just a minute on that part. Give thanks for everything. Another version says, give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what happens, we're supposed to give thanks. Do you give thanks, MJ, when you get in trouble?
No.
Do you give thanks when you are in timeout?
I said you wouldn't have to talk.
Yes.
You give thanks when you're in timeout? Well, see, there's another scripture verse that Jacqueline is going to read for us.
We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Romans 8:28a.
So if God works everything together for our good, then it makes sense that we can be thankful even when bad things happen to us, right? If God is going to work it all out and he is going to have it help us, I know when we get in trouble and we're in timeout or we get a spanking or we miss a special privilege because of something we've done, it's kind of hard to be thankful sometimes. But that's part of the way God teaches us things. And so because God teaches us to be better people through it, we can be thankful for it. But sometimes we forget to say thank you. And I have that trouble way too much. Sometimes I remember to say thank you, and sometimes I just say, oh, thank you, and don't really stop and tell people how grateful I am and how thankful I am. So this morning, we're going to practice that. First, I'm going to start, and I'm going to tell each one of you how thankful and grateful I am for each one of you. I'm thankful that I've been able to get to know you. I'm thankful that I've been able to get to work with you. I'm thankful that you have enjoyed coming and that you have been consistent and you've been here to be in our Sunday school classes, in our children's church, in our quizzing. It's been an amazing time, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm also thankful, and you guys get to help me with this morning, I'm also thankful for all of the people in this church that we don't usually see helping in children's ministry. And there are a lot of them. And so I would like you to help me this morning to tell them how thankful we are for them. Now, since this is the first Sunday of spring, we are going to have a little garden. And if you could just hold that, Avery, you want to hold that up for me? Around. Everybody hold a couple of them. Whoops, that was upside down. Can you hold them up? There's some more. Can you hold three? You're holding three? Okay, we need some more. Here, Jacob. Do you have two? Okay. Here, Avery, there's another one. In autumn. Who wants to hold those? So we have our highly starched dishcloth garden here. And I have with that something I need to read, and I can't hold these. And here you go. There. Thank you, Wyatt. I have a little garden, tender as it can be, that needs great care and loving to be all it can be. The storms of life could trample, a drought could suck it dry, so ever careful watering is needed, lest it die. These children are that garden, and many are the ones who plant and care and water, who are it to the suns that warm it through life's hard times, to help it grow up strong, encouraging and teaching each one to Christ belong, to follow him with passion, to know him deep within, so they become the teacher that you have been to them. And I would like to thank all of our helpers this morning, those who I have had the privilege to work with over the last couple of years. And if I miss anybody, I profusely apologize, and I will make you a flower. Just let me know. But if I could just real quickly go through this, all of these people get to come up and pick a flower from our garden to take home so that as they're washing dishes, they can remember to pray for these kids. So we have Steve and Paula Beechler, Children's Ministry Director, 5th and 6th grade Sunday school class, Wednesday nights, quizzing, nursery Sunday school, VBS Director, crafts. I mean, the list goes on and folks, and I may miss some things here. So come on up, pick a flower. Pat and Carolyn Stevens, 3rd and 4th grade Sunday school, nursery. Stella Faulkner, 1st and 2nd grade Sunday school fill-in, always there to do whatever we need. Georgianne and Jenny Raper, preschool, kindergarten, and kindergarten Sunday school, nursery. Janet Krawitz, Rhonda Mead, 2s and 3-year-old Sunday school, nursery. Sue Montgomery, quizzing and nursery. Amber Shelton, VBS director and nursery. Jennifer Swearingen, kinder church, Wednesday nights, Christmas co-director. Thank you very much. I needed that. Mindy Caldwell, missionary church, nursery. Also helped me with the Christmas co-director. Debbie Shattuck, kinder church, Sunday school sub. Mary Willard, nursery, Christmas director last year. Jenna Allen, nursery. Evelyn Reynolds, nursery. Valerie and Alex Fiesef, nursery. Oh, okay. I'm told that mom is in the nursery, so dad can come pick the flower if he would like to. Heather Swearingen in nursery, and then scads of VBS helpers, Christmas pageant helpers, people that I just didn't have time to make one of these for, but I'm glad to make one for anybody. And it just, you can tell, it takes a lot of people to minister to these kids. And there are ways that can still minister to these kids, that we will have openings in Sunday school teachers and other things if anybody wants to help. But you have a precious, precious commodity here. And they have just been amazingly wonderful. And so to the church and to all the helpers that you have seen, I give my utmost gratitude and my thanks.
You guys want to all say thank you? One, two, three.
Thank you.
You live among the least of these, the weary and the weary.
into the world. Meet the needs for the poor and the needy, God.
I don't think we're done yet either. Pastor Jill, we want to say thanks. For those of you who may not be aware, Pastor Jill is moving on to a new ministry, and we have been very blessed and very fortunate to have her as our children's pastor part-time for the last couple of years, and she and her family as members of our congregation for a longer period of time than that. But God has opened a door for her to go into a full-time ministry, and so we want to share this gift with you that you can hang in your home or in your office, wherever that might be, and that indeed will remind you of us always, and know that we are praying for you and remembering you. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor and love which you have shown for his name's sake in ministering to the needs of his saints, as you still do." Faithful servant, we thank God at every remembrance of you from Philippians 1:3 and from Ephesians 2:10. It is God himself who made you who you are and has given you new life from Christ Jesus. And long ago, he planned that you should spend your life in helping others. And so, with hearts of love, from our home to your home. Amen. Love you. Appreciate you. There is... I couldn't resist. I ran into Purple. And I know that Purple holds a place in your heart. So be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So let that grace your home or office.
That is awesome. And
all right, MJ, you have something more? It's coming at the dinner time. Okay, well, we indeed are having dinner today, and we had originally scheduled this for a different date, and then we adjusted it, and so indeed, we wanted to make sure that as many of you as possible were here to share your appreciation for Pastor Jill. For those of you who are going to stay, she will be around at dinner today, and you can express your thanks to her personally, and we'll do this other presentation, and if you're not going to be able to stay for dinner, please talk to Pastor Jill before you leave today. But would you one more time share your appreciation for her ministry to our church and to our children? And we say thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, you guys can be seated now.
I want to share a little devotion. I haven't used this book in a little while with my mission moments, and I thought this week would be a good week, and I found this, and it just kind of ties in with what we've just witnessed. Pastor Jill has reminded us that we have been entrusted with the lives of these children in our church, and we're accountable for all of that, and along with many other things in our lives. And so think about that as I'm reading this. The scripture is Luke 12:48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Strong, the meaning of the boy's name, is my new friend. In his 16 short years, he has been through many difficulties. As an orphan, he owns nothing except the clothes on his back. But he is rich in his love for Jesus and the word. It was through missionary workers of another organization that he heard about Jesus at his orphanage. Now he stays at a halfway house run by those Christians. One day I gave Strong a lift to the train station. While in the car, we were having a discussion on spiritual things, and I asked him what he wanted to do the next year after high school. He said he was burdened that so many of his people group have yet to hear about Jesus. He desires to be a preacher of the good news throughout his country. His decision came after a challenge from Luke 12:48. Strong said that his father had done much for him, and that he now wanted to do much for the father. The Holy Spirit brought great conviction in my life through Strong that day. I had to ask myself if I was fulfilling God's desires for me. I knew that my list of blessings from the Father would likely far exceed those of Strong. The Bible states that God expects more from those who have been given more. He has blessed us in America with religious freedom, access to Bible study and growth, tremendous teachings, and financial resources. What are we going to do with those blessings?
If our ushers will come this morning, we'll receive our morning tithes and offerings. Pastor Don is away on his annual fishing trip, so we pray that God will give him rest and replenishment and that he will enjoy his time, and so, Brother Scott, if you would come and ask God's blessing on the offering this morning and receive my offering.
Lord, we just want to graciously thank you for the opportunity that you give us to earn a living, and you provide for our families, but we just thank you again for the opportunity we have to give a portion of that back to you, Lord, that you can take it and multiply it and use it for the glory of your kingdom. I just pray that you take this offering today and use it to further your church, Lord. Amen.
Pure delight of a single word that before thy Valleys, we will look back at all you have done.
This morning, we do want to be mindful of those items that are within our bulletin. Some of them are things that have been there for quite some time. We continue to be faithful to persevere in prayer. Others of them are newer items. And indeed, I did have a conversation this past week with Pat Sutherland, who is the grandmother of Brett, our principal at Matthews Elementary School here in our community. And so continue to pray for their son Ryan, his family, their son Brett, who has been diagnosed with leukemia, and they've taken to St. Jude's Hospital and gotten a prescription for a prescribed long-term treatment. So similar situation to what we've been through with Lane Mendenhall and some of those that we're familiar with. And so we encourage you to remember the Sutherland family in your prayers. Continue to be praying for those who have recently had surgeries. Good to see Ted back this morning. He was out this week with the knee surgery. Bruce is going in Wednesday for hip surgery. And so there are some ongoing issues there that we continue to pray for. And then he'll be having a follow-up surgery after that for the aneurysms that they found. That'll be scheduled at a later date. So continue to pray for these folks and to remember them in these difficult situations. And then I'm sure that some of you have been made aware by now that a former member of our congregation and longtime friend, Joe Brauberger, passed away this morning about 6 a.m. Congestive heart failure. And so remember Dana and Lyle and Emily in your prayers. And it's been very much a surprise and a shock. It was unexpected. And so just to pray for their family. And as we learn more details about the services and things, that we'll let you know as we are updated with that information. So just a myriad of things that are on our hearts and minds. Let's stand together this morning as we sing. The altars are open to you if you have need of them. We are very appreciative this morning of those who have stepped in to fill positions in the absence of some of our folks in their time off. Our worship leader away from us this morning, thank you, Stella, for stepping in at the piano. And Sean, I know, covered Lyle in his Sunday school class this morning. And so just thank you so much for all of you on week-to-week basis who, as Pastor Jill has expressed, thanks for workers. Those of you who step in on a moment's notice and cover folks who are facing situations that they had not expected or would not have anticipated. We continue to pray over these many situations. Pray for Pastor Don to have a time of refreshment and relaxation. And Ruth will have a lot of peace and quiet for a week or so at her house. But pray for them. I know they've got a lot on their platter. They've just come back from visiting with their daughter on her spring break. But just a lot on their platter with their son-in-law and their granddaughter-in-law, and just various things that have been on their platter continuously. Others of you have ongoing situations in your homes and lives, and so just continue to pray one for another as God leads you to do so. And again, pray for Pastor Jill as she goes into this new endeavor. She'll be with us through the end of the month and then be taking other responsibilities. So we thank her again for her service and our time together. So let's sing together. The altars are open if you have need of them for praise or petition, and then we'll lift our voices in prayer.
your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat.
As we blend our hearts and minds, spirits, voices together this morning, we come with thanksgiving. We thank you for this word that Pastor Jill shared with us this morning, to be appreciative of each other and the service that has been rendered and the things that we do to serve each other, but more than that, to serve you. Father, we want to thank you for loving us, for being our Heavenly Father, for being our Savior, for being our constant companion and counselor through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are thankful that you are all we need and more, and we give you praise today. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts. And Father, we bow before you this morning, thanking you for all that you have provided for us. Lord, we are very mindful that outside of the grace of God, we would have no hope. But Father, we thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, Lord, that we have been offered the opportunity of forgiveness, mercy, having our sin dealt with, the penalty paid, and that we can have the promise of a home in heaven and the assurance of spiritual companionship through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and that we can indeed be the people that you want us to be, only by your grace. Father, we can't earn it. Nothing we can do to deserve it. It's given to us freely and intentionally, because you are love. And so we thank you for that fact this morning. We receive that, Lord Jesus. We receive your forgiveness, your mercy. Lord, we pray that you would continue to help us with our life situations. You know that there are those that are grieving for various reasons. Lord, in any kind of loss or absence, we know that oftentimes it makes our heart heavy. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us through the grief. You are indeed the comforter. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and staff, they comfort us. So, Father, we seek that comfort this day. We pray this comfort for the Brauberger family. Lord, we pray for your assurance, your peace to come to those, Lord, that are anticipating the surgical procedures. Lord, we pray for your healing over those who have had surgical procedures. Lord, there are those that are traveling this weekend that are close to our hearts, and Lord, we pray that you would give them traveling mercies. Lord, we thank you for your provision. We know that Cody and Heather had an incident with a deer on the way to Nashville, and we know that our district superintendent had an automobile accident on the way to Georgia to his daughter's wedding. And Lord, we thank you that these people have been safe and that they have been watched over and protected. And so, Lord, we thank you for your provision for them. Lord, we pray that you just continue to lead, guide, and direct our lives. And we thank you for the provision that you give to us. Lord, we pray that you would make us conscious of what you desire for us to be and where we fall short. And that, Lord, that we would indeed confess our flaws and failures to you, that you indeed would speak to our hearts and help us to become the people that you indeed have given us the potential in your creation to be. Lord, may we be pleasing and honoring to you. We remember all the things, Lord, that you have done, and we anticipate what you are going to do. And so, Lord, we commit this church, our lives, everything into your hands, and ask that you would indeed take charge and that we would follow your lead. And, Lord, that we would enjoy greater days as we go into the future. We pray, Father, that you indeed would just continue to bless.
as we continue to worship you today, and we give you praise for it all. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Just want to preface this morning that we mentioned to you that Jonathan had done well at the Talent Fest for the teens a couple weeks ago, and we wanted him to share that song with you. And we would also want to give him credit this morning. The video that you watched about Pastor Jill, that was Jonathan's creation. So we thank him for that. Appreciate him this morning, Jonathan.
Your face, just don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching as if I'm not enough? To where will you go, child? Tell me where. I'll be by your side wherever you fall in the dead of night, whenever you call, and please don't fight these hands that are holding you. My hands are holding you. Look at these hands and my side. Holding you here at my side, wherever you fall in the dead of night, whenever you call, and please don't fight, these hands are holding you, my hands are holding you, 'cause by your side, wherever you fall in the dead of night, whenever you call, then please don't fight, these hands are holding you, my hands are holding you here at my side, wherever you fall in the dead of night, whenever you call, then please don't fight, these hands are holding you, my hands are holding you. Here at my side, my hands are holding you.
Thank you, Jonathan. We trust that you will always use your talents to be honoring to God and a blessing to others. And so thank you for that song this morning. And thank you for your work on the video
That was a good production, and we appreciate that very much this morning. If you have your Bibles and want to turn this morning, it will be on the screen, but if you want to turn with us, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. In the midst of our busy schedule of all the things that were pre-planned and a part of leading into this this month, we've had several special speakers and things, but I just want us to this morning felt impressed to remind us that we are already in the midst of the season of Lent. Now, the season of Lent is not a biblical directive by any means. It is not an apostolic invention. It did come along later, about AD 400 to 600, and became a practice and tradition of the church. But I think there's some merit to this season. It is observed as the 40 days leading into Easter, not counting the Sundays that are involved in that part of the calendar. And it is a time for us to do introspection and some reflection on our own lives and our relationship to the Lord. I think it's a time for us to be concerned about our world and its condition and what God indeed wants for our world and for His people. And so we find that there are some things that in this season of contemplation, this season of thinking about things in a maybe a more concentrated and focused and serious manner than maybe we do in the process of going about our daily business, that this particular season leads us through a time of seriousness, somberness, a time of evaluation, and leads us up to a great celebration of the grace and the mercy that God extended to us and the victory that He gave through the resurrection that we observe on Easter Sunday. So indeed, Lent is a season not only of contemplation, but it is a season of sorrow. Godly sorrow, our Scripture says to us, leads to repentance. And it says then that we don't have to have any regrets. How many of us can think into our life and think about some times that we maybe have some regrets? Maybe we have a regret about something we did, or maybe we have a regret about something we said. And how many of us, particularly as Christians and growing older, realize there are some times that if we would have just stopped maybe and prayed about something or read the Word a little bit or just meditated, that maybe we wouldn't have said or done those things. And it would have saved us. It would have saved us being sorrowful. It would have saved us having to say, "We're sorry." It would have saved us having to go through the act of repentance. But I'm thankful that that opportunity is there for us, that indeed the Holy Spirit can convict us and help us to understand where we're at in our relationship with God. I want to bring into this thought process this morning a biblical story that I think is a parallel, that in a sense is a kind of an analogy of what I think the season of Lent is sort of about. And I turn your attention to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, we find this beginning. "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, 'O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love and with those who love Him and obey His commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses." And so here was news that came to Nehemiah. He was serving as cupbearer to the king. He was in a very prominent position and yet a very dangerous position, because you understand the cupbearer was the person who sampled food and drink so that if it was poisoned, the king would not get poisoned. And so indeed, he was challenged. He constantly had to live by faith that God indeed would protect him. He was a godly man. He was a man of prayer. He was a sensitive man. And he cared about his people and his homeland. And the word came to him that the people, the Israelites, were in trouble. And indeed, the walls were a shambles around Jerusalem. And immediately, upon hearing that news and receiving that evaluation, he began to get a burden in his heart. It says he wept. It says he fasted and prayed. He indeed was sorrowful. He was experiencing sorrow at this condition. I believe that as we think about the season Lent, that as we're reminded about the fall of Adam, when we're reminded about original sin, I think there's a godly sorrow that should come into our hearts and minds. That we indeed often can wonder and surmise, and that's all it can be at this stage of the game, what it might have been like if Adam and Eve had not disobeyed, if things had remained perfect. But immediately, as we're made aware of our condition, as it becomes light to us that indeed Adam and Eve did disobey God and they did fall, and as a result of that, every one of us who've ever been born are born sinners. And as sinners, we are separated from God and His holiness. And so at some point in time, we come to this realization that we have this separation. And I think that if we have a desire to honor God, if we have a desire to be in relationship with God, that should bring sorrow into our heart, that there's been that separation. And obviously here this morning, as we've made realization of that, we've done what God has offered us to take advantage of His grace and love and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, confess our sins, have His blood to be the atonement for them, and we engage in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe that as we go through our walk with God, that the Holy Spirit is faithful to speak to our hearts and to convict us when we indeed are not where we ought to be in our relationship. And I believe that that ought to bring within us a certain godly sorrow. If we believe that we have disappointed or disobeyed in some way God's desire or His will, that it should humble us and bring us to our knees in a repentant spirit. And I believe that that's how God has designed the entire thing. Now, there's an interesting part of this story that as we think about Lent, you know, Lent is kind of, and we're going to talk about this in just a minute, but it's kind of about as we understand what God might want to do in our life, what might need to be done in our life or in the lives of others, how He can use us to minister to others, that indeed it brings a very heavy seriousness to our heart in order to be obedient to Him. But not everything that's always done should be done publicly. Sometimes this is a personal thing between us and God. I think it's interesting that if you look in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on." So oftentimes when we have an evaluation going on and when we're beginning to respond to God in obedience, it's not for us to tell everyone. Part of Lent is maybe choosing to fast from something, to give something up. And oftentimes I hear people talking about, "What are you giving up for Lent? What are you giving up for Lent?" And that's not necessarily a bad thing. There's some good that can come out of that. But the truth of the matter is, God gives us some information. It's interesting that Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, as far as how to handle our prayer life and fasting. He says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." I believe that as we get into a sense of evaluation in Lent, that what God is speaking to us, we can respond to in direct relationship to God without necessarily having to communicate to anybody else what's going on. Matter of fact, I believe it might be the inference of Scripture that oftentimes many of the things that we do should be done privately rather than publicly. So as we think about the idea of fasting, as we think about God speaking to our heart and perhaps challenging us with some kind of sacrifice in the course of the Lenten season, we realize it's not only a season of godly sorrow, but it's a season of sacrifice. As Nehemiah assessed the situation, as he knew in his heart what God wanted him to do, to go to Jerusalem and to lead in the rebuilding of the walls, he got permission from the king, he got letters of approval, and he traveled back to Jerusalem, and then he began to set about the task that God had laid on his heart. And in Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 14 through 19, we find a description of Nehemiah that's very different to other people who had been put in his position of authority or given permission to govern over the people. In Nehemiah 5:14, it says, "Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded over the people, but out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on the wall, and all my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land." So there are people that actually took their position of power and prominence, and they used the people. They took from them, they taxed them in order that they might have the allotment of food and property and other things that were given to them. When Nehemiah went to Jerusalem, he went with one purpose, because God had burdened his heart to rebuild the walls of the city and to offer protection and aid to his fellow men. He wasn't interested in gaining personal gain. He wasn't interested in what even was legally allotted to him if he wanted to assess it. But he took a time of sacrifice. And Lent indeed is a time of sacrifice. And indeed, many people come to a point and place of saying, "Lord, during this time, what maybe do you want me to..." You know, some people fast a meal. Some people fast media. Some people give up other enjoyments. But the idea is that at whatever point of sacrifice takes place, that I use that time that when I think if I have a hunger pain or if I realize I've given up maybe a television show or whatever, that during that time I would spend it in the Word of God and in prayer and meditation on what God might want to say to me, on how He might want to relate to me. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus spoke again in Matthew chapter 16. In the beginning of verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will indeed find it.'" And so it is also a season of sacrifice, a time when we can intensify our focus on God, His Word, and His will, where we indeed can hopefully in a greater measure be living out and doing and being all that God wants us to be. Sometimes that's a challenge. I heard recently at a meeting that I was at this quote: "If you follow the will of God, He is responsible for the consequences." If you follow the will of God, He is responsible for the consequences. All He's asked of us is to be faithful and obedient. He takes care of the results. He takes care of the consequences. But here's the great news, and really condensing this story in our time this morning, not only is Lent as a season of contemplation, a time to think about our own soul condition and our relationship to God, a time of godly sorrow and perhaps even repentance, and not only is it a season of sacrifice where we give something up in order to intensify our time with God, our focus on God, our ability to hear from God, but it is indeed a season of satisfaction. Nehemiah went through this burden and he fasted and he went about the work of the wall, and there was all kinds of opposition and all kinds of things that are part of the story that he fought. But the end result was this. If we look into Nehemiah chapter 6, in Nehemiah chapter 6 beginning at verse 24, Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 15. "So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. So there was a season of satisfaction. There was a great end result out of all this opposition and all of the things physically, mentally, and emotionally that were placed upon Nehemiah. The result of his burden, the result of his sacrifice, the result of his investment in his fellow men was that the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in 52 days. And there indeed was a time of rejoicing and a time of celebration. This 40 days that we call Lent, how much more of a celebration do you think Easter Sunday will be if we indeed have spent some dedicated and intensified time with God in the days leading up to it? If we've been able to surrender something. The whole idea of sacrifice is in honor of the sacrifice that Jesus made of his own life. The idea of maybe doing without, giving something up, denying ourselves, has to do with the suffering that Jesus went through on the way to the cross. We indeed are trying to find identification with the life that God has lived. And here's the deal. That ends up in a good personal result. When we spend time with God, when we are willing to give things up to hear God's voice more accurately, and when we are synced up with God's Holy Spirit, then indeed there is a great personal result in our soul condition. And not only that, but not only do we gain becoming more like Him, as is described in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul was writing in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. We indeed can experience that resurrection life. We can indeed experience that overcoming power. But here's what happens in this process. As we are focused more intently upon God, I believe that change takes place. I believe that things can happen within our spirit and within our soul, and indeed that we are conformed more into the image of Jesus Christ. And not only is that good for us, but there are others that benefit from this practice as well. I want you to look at Nehemiah chapter 9. This is after the walls have been rebuilt. In Nehemiah chapter 9, the first three verses, on the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. And then skip over to verse 33 of that same chapter. In all that has happened to us, you have been just. You have acted faithfully while we did wrong. That's God's response to them. In verse 38, it goes on to say, in view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. And then go down to chapter 10, verse 28. The rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who are able to understand, all these now join their brothers, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God. Here's what's happened. In the process of Nehemiah's burden and his sacrifice and his activity and his involvement with his people, not only did God speak and use Nehemiah, but he became a blessing to all of his fellow men. He became a blessing to his countrymen. And they took it upon themselves to say, perhaps we've kind of forgotten God. Perhaps we kind of need to refocus. And sometimes you don't have to be talking about what you're sacrificing or what you're giving up for Lent. But indeed, people can see joy on your face. People can maybe see change in some of your attitudes or spirits as you're spending more time with God. And indeed, you may have the opportunity. They may say, hey, what's going on with you? Or they may know that you have a normal habit of having a Hershey bar every day for lunch. And if you don't have Hershey bars, then they'll say, why don't you have Hershey bars? And without you having to do anything to promote yourself, they may indeed be asking you a question, and it presents the opportunity if you say, well, here's what's going on. It's Lent, and I'm trying to become more intensely devoted to God, and I'm celebrating this and preparing for Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And in so doing, and them seeing these changes or these things that maybe are not going on that used to go on, you have the opportunity to witness and to share your faith. And in so doing, others then turn their minds to God and say, hey, you know, we should be more in tune with the Word of God. We should be more in tune with what's happening in our relationship with God. So indeed, they are mindful of their situation. So I just want you to perhaps, if you're not already actively engaged in an observance of the Lenten season, can I just lay out before you the opportunity to participate in what has become a tradition down through the years of the church, for this to be a time of penitence, time of godly sorrow, a time of evaluation, leading up to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It can be a wonderful time. It can help us in our relationship, and indeed, hopefully, it can be a blessing and a witness to others, even in a silent sort of way, as God works in our lives. I challenge you to consider the observance of Lent as we move toward April 20th and the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we are indeed grateful for all that you've done. And Lord, we realize that sometimes we get caught up in busyness. We get caught up in doing things, sometimes even doing things for you or the church or whatever. And sometimes you just want us to slow down and listen to you and absorb you and give you time to speak to our hearts. We can be more conformed into your image, the image of Jesus. So Lord, we don't want to get caught up in legalistic practice. We don't want to get caught up in ritual for the sake of ritual. But Lord, if there are things that we can do that will draw us closer to you, if there are things that we can do that indeed will help us to know you better, understand you more, and allow more of you to flow through us into the lives of others, Lord, we want to do those things. We want to engage in those practices. Lord, we pray that you would take this word today and that we, like Nehemiah, as we think about the condition of our world, that our hearts would be heavy, that we would have a passion for the lost, that indeed, Father, we would think of those who are struggling, of our fellow men, and that we would come alongside them and embrace them and share with them the Word of God, share with them encouragement, love, or support, and that, Lord, we could be that person who helps them to stay in the battle, to stay in the fight, just to be on the journey, not to give up, not to lose hope. Lord, as you effect change in us, may that change have impact on the others around us. And for all this, Father, we will give you glory, honor, and praise. For you are worthy. And we're excited about celebrating this Lenten season and Easter and the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. We indeed invite you to stay with us today. If you are a visitor here today, then we invite you to go right to the head of the line and to be a part of this fellowship. And indeed, if you are here and have a birthday or anniversary, these are the ones that I am aware of, that I have seen. And so happy birthday to Sue Montgomery, Jason Tooker, Amber Shelton, Avery Allen, Jesse Everett, Julie Brooks, and I'm not sure if Valerie got to make it in. Valerie's here this morning. Valerie has a birthday this month. So all of these folks are indeed invited to go to the place of honor at the head of the line in observance of their birthdays. And indeed, Mr. and Mrs. Ed Gill have an anniversary that is being celebrated. And so indeed, you are honored as well. And so we give honor to all of you today and thank you for being here with us. And we just look forward to enjoying a great time of fellowship and a further presentation at the appropriate time to Pastor Jill. And again, if you won't be able to stay, be sure and express your appreciation to Pastor Jill for her service to us. And again, thanks to all of you who have helped us in the course of honoring her this morning. Let's stand together and have a blessing over our meal. And indeed, then those of you who are visitors, go right along with the birthday folks and help them to the head of the line. And let's just have a good afternoon of fellowship together. Again, Jonathan, thank you for the song and for the video today. Appreciate that very much. Brother Bruce, if you would, pray a prayer of thanks over our food and our fellowship today.